Yo, Chad, what if I told you there's a platform that could completely revolutionize your hiring strategy in a matter of hours?
Yeah, I'd call bullshit.
Well, it's not bullshit with AI for Jobs, powered by our friends at This Way Global.
Okay, I'm listening.
While everyone else is fishing in the same old talent pools, AI for Jobs can source over 160 million diverse candidate profiles. This Way Global has established unique partnerships with over 8,500 trusted diversity partners.
So wait a minute. All of the hard on the ground work is already done.
That's right, cowboy. You can discover 300 qualified candidates per job rec instantly.
Wow.
It's like having a candidate sourcing magic wand.
Dude, if you had a magic wand, you would have Mexican pizzas all day.
Stop distracting me, Sowash. AI for Jobs advanced matching algorithm analyzes past applicants using trillions of historical matching events and over 1,600 data points.
Now that is what AI should be doing, saving recruiters time on sourcing while they provide a white glove candidate experience.
Let's wrap this shit up. I'm hungry.
Listen up, kids. Revolutionize your hiring process today by jumping over to thiswayglobal.com and checking out AI for Jobs, where you can learn more about how to leverage AI for your recruiting instead of just writing poems and grocery lists.
That is thiswayglobal.com. We out.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Sowash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. What's up, everybody? It's Mac McClung's favorite podcast, a.k.a. the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joel Cheeseman. Joined, as always, the posh to my David. Chad Sowash is in the house. And we welcome back.
Hey, kids.
Jeff Dickey Chasins, a.k.a. the Job Board Doctor. Jeff, welcome back to the podcast.
Howdy, boys. How's it going?
Like a true Iowan. Howdy, boys. How we doing? Down shucking some corn and feeding the cows. I'm ready to podcast.
That's damn right.
So aside from your folksy demeanor, for those that don't know you on the show, give them a quick Twitter bio about the doctor.
Yeah. So I am a job board geek. I am a job board consultant. I work with job boards all over the world in terms of helping them make more money and be more successful. I've been in the industry since the late 90s and worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of job boards. And if you've got a problem, you should go to jobboarddoctor.com and I will help you solve your problem.
Oh, well, we talked about some job board problems, or at least the ones that Joel thought were going to happen. And so that was an entirely other podcast, and we didn't have enough time to actually get to this. So we're like, shit, you know what? This could be a podcast in itself. Joel had his four horsemen. That's great. We had an entire discussion around those. Now we want to hear from the job board doctor. You had three, which Joel coined the unholy trinity.
That's right.
Right. So we wanted to actually take some time and start running through some of those. So Joel, you got any setup for this?
Yep. Let's go. Let's start with, I guess, the most potent threat to the job board industry, doctor. This is on you.
Impotent.
Hit us.
All right. Well, number one on my list is AppCast. And I want to preface this by
saying what?
I want to preface this by saying that in reality, I feel like I'm sort of doing a devil's advocate thing here in writing this, because I honestly look at that, at all three of these threats, and they are potential threats. Whether they ever become real or not, I am pretty skeptical, but I will go through it anyway, because if they do become real, they're going to be deadly for the job board industry. So AppCast, of course, everyone knows, is the major force out there in programmatic. And they've been very, very successful in executing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They're active, you know, in the EU, they're active in the UK, they're active in the US and Canada. And they recently brought Bayard's advertising agency, you know, really well-known, well-connected recruitment agency. So what do I start hearing from my clients this year? I start hearing from my clients, larger clients, gee, we just lost XYZ client to AppCast. They say that we don't need you anymore. And then someone else calls me and they say the same thing. And I start thinking about this and I'm thinking, you know, this model reminds me a lot of what Indeed did, where they sort of came in and they partnered with job boards. And then at a certain point, they dumped job boards, cut out the middleman, start working direct with the employers. Now, the interesting follow-on to this is after this was published, I got a reach out from Chris Foreman, who is the CEO of AppCast. And I've known Chris for a long time. We've worked.
A reach around what?
What?
I said a reach around what? It's a joke that I make on the show occasionally. Oh, okay. Keep going.
You're too witty for me, Joel.
He's hoping that he gets one.
Anyway, it flies over my head. I'll just keep talking. So he and I had a chat, and he made a reasonable argument to me that in fact they function as the industry middlemen, and that's what makes them thrive, and that they don't have the capacity or the interest or the desire to have these direct relationships, even with Bayard, with the whole sort of rainbow of companies that are out there.
Now, companies, you mean higher companies, direct employer companies?
Direct employers, yeah. And
okay,
I give him a little, you know, he made a reasonable argument. I'm still not sure I buy it because AppCast is part of StepStone. And AppCast will not always be run by Chris, and AppCast will continue to grow. And as we've seen with Indeed, one of the things that makes a company grow is to dump partners and go directly for their clients over and over and over again. So I would stick with that. If that really happens, if they go forward and they keep doing this over and over again, it's going to be a real problem for mid-tier and large job boards, maybe not the little ones.
So, Jeff, I don't want to say dumb this down, but so the threat is, why use a middleman, an Indeed or another job board, when I can go directly to the relationship with AppCast, where I assume I'm paying less per click, the traffic is cheaper, so why would I ever use another job board when I can go direct to the service? That's the threat. Am I missing anything on that? Any nuance to why people are leaving job boards for that?
You get the access to the full range of things that AppCast can do, not only through the AppCast network, but through the advertising agency they've acquired. Because ad agencies are very good at sort of putting together packages in a way that historically job boards have not been so good at doing. So you put those two things together, particularly for enterprise employers, it's a pretty strong argument.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. You're talking about AppCast being prospectively a threat to job boards. And without a robust ecosystem of job sites, Indeed and LinkedIn win. So why in the hell would AppCast kill job boards when it's not in their best interest? Now, they did take down a LinkedIn or an Indeed or something like that. There's still a much larger ecosystem that actually works there. So to me, I understand, and this it sounds good, but it doesn't make any sense because AppCast doesn't have, other than StepStone and shit, that's all in Europe, right? They don't have any entities that are actually here. So they would be killing themselves, and they would literally be handing over all the business to Indeed and LinkedIn. So why do you think they would do that? Why do you think this is prospectively a problem for job boards?
So again, I said I'm playing devil's advocate here, right? So yeah. I've been around long enough that I've seen companies act against their own best interest in pursuit of quarterly profits. And now that they're part of the StepStone group, their future is not necessarily their own. There's a lot of things that could happen, particularly if StepStone IPOs and a lot of pressure is brought to bear on AppCast to make up for shortcomings in the other parts of the company. Chris leaves, maybe his executive team leaves, and anything could happen. You know, I watched Dice shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, you know, literally just bankrupt themselves.
We all did. We all did, right. Jeff. Well, you did from the inside.
Right. And I watched Monster do the same thing. And yep. I watched many, many large, theoretically, you know, good companies do dumb things. Indeed did something dumb last year with paper application. So
yeah,
it could happen.
Jeff, AppCast is not the only game in town. There are new ones popping up all the time. We talked about the rebirth, if you will, of Jobster being a programmatic. So now, what happens in that world? Because from where I sit, the whole game has been a race to the bottom. It started at the bottom, it went high, and then Google came along. We'll get to search engines in a second. But this always seems like, where can I get it cheaper? Where can I get it, you know, easier? And AppCast is going to have competition. That's going to impact them. Where do you see that, the whole programmatic universe playing out?
Well, it reminds me a lot of what happened in the late 2000s with aggregators and the growth of aggregators, where it was sort of the same trajectory, right? And one of the problems for aggregators was differentiating themselves in the sense that, you know, the argument that I'm cheaper may initially be persuasive, but then if I'm cheaper but I get no good results, that's a problem for the aggregator. That's a problem for the programmatic vendor. And I think ultimately, you know, you may have this initial burst of popularity, you know, if you lowball everyone, but if you don't deliver, then ultimately, you know, it doesn't help you as a company. And I think one of the things that AppCast has done, as far as I can tell from talking to employers, is it has actually been pretty good at delivering on quality. So, you know, that's an argument that if they change, that's going to hurt their quality. To your point, it could open up the door for other competitors. But ultimately, a lot of this is going to come back to who has that best mix of price and quality. You know, you can't just go all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, I think competitors are going to keep them honest.
Because there's no particular secret sauce that AppCast has, right?
Data.
I would say that one of their secret sauce pieces was sort of the development of their software. It's more sophisticated than their competitors at this point. Doesn't mean that someone else can't come in and shake that up, but they've got the advantage in terms of first mover and the fact that they technologically were better than many of their competitors. Yeah. So
let's hit the aspect of Bayard up real quick. I wanted to break this up into AppCast and Bayard. So recruitment ad agencies, they've been around since the days of newspaper, yellow pages, before that, right? But a more chaotic landscape benefits them because employers can't make heads or tails of the market. That's why they need an ad agency. So taming the ecosystem doesn't make any sense. And for Chris to say, oh, we can't deal with all those big brands. Come on, Chris, that's fucking stupid. You want all those big brands in your portfolio. You need all those big brands in your portfolio. And so I call bullshit on that. But from that standpoint, a more chaotic market means these big brands have to go to the Bayards of the world because they just can't make heads or tails of it. Why do you think Bayard would want to make this cleaner and easier by killing off other job sites?
Money.
but again, it doesn't behoove them. It doesn't behoove them from a long-term standpoint, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't because a more chaotic market means they have to be there.
I don't disagree with you on that.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it, simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos. Let's get to point number two.
I'm not sure. I won't even go through the beating on this one.
This
one in some ways is more, I think, more realistic. Although, again, I still think it's probability rate of maybe 20% or less. And it's what I call the death of the search engines, right? From the very beginning of the job board industry, it's sort of revolved around the Alta Vistas and the Yahoos and the Googles of the world, you know, in terms of discovery. And job boards knew that that was both a strength and a weakness, which is why you have job boards like Monster trying to build a big brand so that people come direct to them and bypass it. But, you know, there is something out there right now that could – there's several somethings out there right now that could sort of unseat Google or any other search engine. You know, you look at TikTok. That's a discovery engine at this point for a large piece of the population, just the way Facebook was for a decade or so. You've got and LinkedIn is to a lesser degree. And then you've got AI, which, you know, who's to say? I mean, there's already plenty of people out there building little apps that say, hey, you know, just punch this into the app. We'll bring all this stuff to you. Someone might hit that right mix of ease of use and quality that jumps out the way Google jumped out at one point in time. And basically people say, that's my discovery engine. And you've got thousands of job boards who all of their efforts are tied to SEO on search engines. And suddenly they've got to switch and figure out how the hell are they going to be discovered at this point. Now, you know, job boards are great survivors. I mean, you could call them the cockroaches of the recruitment industry. You know, they just, you know, there can be this nuclear blast that destroys everything in the recruitment industry, and there'll still be job boards out there cranking out content and getting people, you know, jobs. They could probably figure it out, but the pain and suffering could be very substantial if this happened in a short period of time.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think this is, to be quite frank, of the three, the biggest. It could be the biggest impact, but Google is already starting to enhance their traditional search with generative AI. So anyone who's paying attention will understand that they have to continue moving and not standing still. Now, those organizations who do stand still are threatened, yes, but those who are more fluid, they have a better opportunity. And for instance, when programmatic advertising started, job boards could have seized up, went into the fetal position and just died. And they didn't. They embraced programmatic. And sources tell me that a company, a little company named CareerBuilder that still isn't dead yet, they're making over $1 million a month just in programmatic alone. Right. So we've seen whether they're cockroaches or not, they've been able to evolve in some cases to be able to ensure that they're finding new revenue streams. And it's probably, you know, from dealing with guys like you over the years, smacking them in the head and saying, hey, there's opportunity here. Go get the revenue. So I do think search engines are a problem, but they're only a problem for organizations who aren't paying attention.
You know, it's interesting. I would argue that there's been no more disruptive force in our industry than Google was before the internet. And a lot of people would like to go back to the days where you got your local paper All the jobs were sort of nearby.
Who were those people?
Responses.
Who are those people?
The agencies who made a lot of money on display ads.
There are one of those people still alive.
But there are those people that still would like to go back to those times. And when Monster came along, it was like Monster was going to be the monolithic newspaper for everybody, the classified section for everybody. Chad, you know this story about talking about $5,000 ads.
Yeah.
Like, just display ads on the internet.
Andy McKelvey wanted every job to be $1,000. That was his peak, man. And Andy McKelvey, the CEO of TMP, who owned Monster at the time. Yeah, that was, he talked about in meetings all the time.
And people did Super Bowl ads because they wanted to be Coke or Pepsi or Fanta. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted to have the pricing accordingly to that. Google came along and let some dude in his mom's house in Toledo optimize for Toledo jobs. And that person had a business because of the traffic that Google created. And that ultimately kind of smashed the whole Monster ethos. And
Indeed.
Then Indeed came along and said, we're going to do search just for jobs.
Yes.
And we're going to leverage Google to be that thing. And and then, you know, this is what we have today is sort of in response to that. So to me, there's no other more disruptive force than in our industry than Google has been. Do we have co-pilots one day that we say, hey, co-pilot, hey, Jeeves, whatever, what's a perfect job for me in 10, you know, within 10 miles of where I am right now? And Jeeves or whatever co-pilot says, here's a list of 12 jobs. Do you want me to apply to them today? Sure. They send you whatever. And then like, you're done. There's no search for that. That could happen. That's a possibility. You know, one of the things that's funny to me is you guys always said like job boards are going to die. If you go back to that interview, the Four Apocalypse, I don't know if I ever say they're going to die. There's still help wanted ads in every window of every like retailer that I see. There's still newspaper ads. There's still radio spots. It's not going to die. I just think there's no growth there. Which could, I think, if that happens, we go back to a day where we have these sort of monolithic brands. It's the companies that can afford advertising in local markets. It's the companies that can put billboards up and radio spots that are going to have people drive directly to their sites and not use Google. So I think there's a way that we could go sort of circle back to more bigger brands on the job board space if we lose search engines, which is a big if.
It is a big if.
That's a big if.
Well, one of the things I tell my clients, and I mean, this is not, you know, this is nothing unusual for people that know marketing, but a really simple way to make 20, 25% more money with your job board is to build a brand around the job board. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. You know, it's like anonymous job board point A, you know, and you turn it into something that, you know, Chad's jobs for you, and you put you wrap it in that brand, and suddenly you've got a lot more people giving you money. It's one of those things that happens, and the smart job boards out there know that as well as they know, hey, I've got to pay attention to all the technological changes that are going on. I need to suck this in, put this in. It's just good business.
And by and large, SEO, unless you're a big brand, is not an option for most people. I mean, there are a lot of niche boards that don't exist anymore because they can't rank for Toledo jobs because Indeed, Zip and LinkedIn and all the big brands that have the trust are what's ranking now. It's really hard to rank unless you're a big sort of brand that's well-known. Google's done a good job of doing that. And everything's personalized. Google tracks what you do, where you go. It's like there used to be a day where you could say, hey, go to Google and type in Cleveland nursing jobs and everybody got the same result. Today, that's not the case, right? Mm. So salespeople can't do that anymore. Sites aren't launched with SEO in mind. I would say in some ways, search is dead for a lot of companies where it would have been alive 20 years ago. It would have been the way that we market 20
Joel,
years ago.
No, Joel, you're wrong. Evolving. You're wrong. You're wrong.
It's evolving.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
on which part?
On the search part of it, because what's happened is there's been a transition that, you know, some niche boards were on top of this to begin with, but a lot of them have transitioned over to content marketing. And the content is what's driving people to their site and the rankings they're getting on the content versus the rankings they get on the job listings.
Okay? You're just proving that I'm right because they can't rank for state city jobs anymore. They have to go deeper into the content. So to me, your statement is proving that I'm right because they can't do that anymore. They have to be
content is content. Job content versus being able to build your own content. You're not right, Cheeseman. You're wrong.
The number of searches done
you're wrong.
For what he's talking about are much less than Indianapolis jobs.
I know you're trying to twist out of this, but you're wrong.
No, I'm not.
Content is content. No, he didn't.
Proved me right.
We'll roll back and all prove right. you easily wrong. Number three.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
Well done,
Jesus.
I like how he pivots off of me on that one. All right, Jeff, number three.
Number three. And you guys are going to have a lot of fun on this one. So my thought is, okay, what if true generational change happens in the recruitment and HR world, right? And you've got all of these millennials and Gen whatever, you know, I call them Gen R in the article, that basically they grew up in a world that's alien to the vast majority of people that are running job boards. You know, I mean, you could argue that we live in that world right now, but believe me, having a 28-year-old daughter brings this home to me almost every single day when I have conversations with her. And they just don't look at the world the same way. And they don't think about any of those traditional channels. And, you know, and so you've got job boards that are chasing TikTok, but then they put out stuff on TikTok that is not TikTok native, you know, and they literally just no longer understand the world they're operating in. And this Gen R audience, you know, sort of looks at it as like, you know, we have sort of a different construct in terms of how we attract candidates, how we find candidates, how we lure candidates in. And job boards aren't even part of that picture. Now, to counter myself, I'll say that I've already seen out there that some job boards simply refuse the title. We're not a job board. And they put themselves in a different box and just says, no, you know, we're this or we're that. And some of them have been successful that way. You know, just like HR, sometimes job boards can be pretty slow moving and not so self-aware. So I think that's a threat. I'm not sure if it would destroy the industry or not, but it could.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I don't think recruiters are going to have a hand in that at all. Everything's becoming so automated. You've got process automation that's happening. You've got programmatic. Some of those programmatic players are going to go even further down funnel to better understand, more easily laser target individuals who have proven they have the skills to be able to do the jobs. And recruiters aren't going to be picking what job boards they go to like they do today or they have done in the past, right? So all that's going to go away. The recruiter's not going to be, they're not even going to know where their jobs are popping up, right? So process automation, I see a lot of that happening, and that's good. And that's very good because the recruiters of yesteryear, the ones who had Rolodexes, the ones who this was their profession, they kicked ass, they took names. Some of them are still around. Not many of them exist anymore. We have a generation or a couple of generations of lazy ass recruiters who post a job and they sit back and they fucking wait until the candidate applies come in, right? And then they work off of that. We're moving, I think, into a scenario where most of those are going to get kicked to the curb. And the ones who actually want it to be a profession are going to be working directly with process automation. So, yeah, that's my take on the generational gap.
Yeah. Far be it for me to predict what generations that aren't even born yet are going to be doing in terms of getting their information. I mean, it kind of goes back to the search engine thing where do we have a co-pilot that answers all your life's questions, whether it's where should I work based on what I've done or my education, and it just kind of serves it up. That's a world we could get into. I think the gig economy is really interesting. People, more and more people are saying, why go through the traditional way of getting employment or work? These platforms exist. I think LinkedIn probably is in a good spot in that world. I still think most people that go to school or are in high school are told you got to join LinkedIn. Like LinkedIn is still where you got to be to network and find people and connect to as many people as you can. In that world of social media and connection, which I think is going to be long term, then I think LinkedIn is in a very good position because people will still professionally want to connect in a network. And right now, LinkedIn is the only game in town. They need to get their job shit right because they do a really poor job of serving up related jobs. Like I'm still getting host and hostess jobs at restaurants because I'm a co-host of a podcast. So they really need to up their game on search, job search. But yeah, I'm not going to predict what generations will do. I don't think anyone here will. But yeah, there's a good chance that they don't go to a search engine and search for jobs and then go to job boards and like, you know, weed through job postings, then apply to jobs. There's really good chance that that changes in the next few decades.
Yeah. Being on LinkedIn isn't the same as using LinkedIn. I mean, we're the one of the biggest problems that we have is that we're in this industry and we're on it every fucking day. Most of the people on LinkedIn aren't, right? Their information isn't up to date. I mean, I see where there are definite opportunities for other organizations to come in and actually take a lot of the market share from LinkedIn just because, as Joel had said, the tech is shit, right? Unless they actually buy someone to re-energize what they provide to the users. The TikToks of the world. I mean, my daughter's on LinkedIn. She's probably been on once to put her information in and that's it. She's on TikTok, she's on Insta, all those things, right? So I think, again, we have to move to where the puck is and where it's going. And today, how much time would I put on LinkedIn? I would definitely do it for professionals. But for Gen Zs and maybe even younger millennials, I don't think that's where you hit them.
Yep. And then there's direct mail.
Which has made a comeback, my friend, has made a comeback.
You forgot about QR codes. QR codes are the death of
also
all this
made
stuff.
A comeback.
And the death of us. Let's review the three there, Jeff. Number one, you had programmatic or AppCast specifically being a threat to the job boards. Number two, you had search engines or the demise of search engines or something replacing search. And then number three, you had generational change. Those kids are going to do it differently and that's going to change the whole ball game. Any others that like didn't make the cut or anything that you thought about since then that might make the cut? I know Unholy Trinity was a good
honorable mentions,
good spin, but any more out there that you think are threats?
I was really kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel there because, I mean, honestly, I'm incredibly optimistic about the future of job boards. I mean, it's a horrible name, right? Everyone agrees that. It does not match the reality of the most successful and dynamic players in the industry. And contrary to what you say, Joel, it continues to be very lucrative. It's growing and it continues to develop in markets all around the world. So no, I don't have any other big, things that I sort of think, oh my God, if this happens, it's going to destroy the industry. I think the most likely thing that would destroy the industry is the thing that's also the most unlikely, which is that successful job boards quit paying attention. They become like GM, you know, or Ford back in the 70s. They're sort of sitting there fat and happy because you know what happens? Monster was Ford. You know, a Monster was GM. Monster was Chrysler. You know, they crashed. And other job boards jumped up and took their market share, right? And it's a very opportunistic industry. It's a very, it's one that's very focused on pulling in new technologies, but also not like crazy technologies. It's like, I want a technology that works, it's totally predictable, and it's something that my clients want. Then I'll pull it in and use it.
So instead of something that will kill possibly the job boards or the job sites, job site technology that's out there today, what is the one thing that you think every single job site should focus on because that's going to be the thing that will propel them or amplify them into being more successful?
Guys, I'm sorry I got to be boring here, but it's what I tell every single client that I talk to, whether they've been around for 30 years or whether they've been around for 15 minutes. It's the candidates, stupid. It's like, if you focus on the candidates, if you focus...
Boring, but true.
Boring, but true. It's very strange because, you know, I have worked with clients that have been very resistant to that. And then mm-hmm. they come back at some point in the future and they say, you know, you were right. When we started paying attention to the candidates, we started making more money. It's simple, but it's not easy. You know, it's not an easy yeah. thing to actually sort of put yourself in the mindset of your candidates, particularly if they're a particularly hard to reach type of candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it, you'll get them in, and then the money will flow in from employers, guaranteed.
There it is, kids. There it is. Pay attention.
Dickie Chasins, a.k.a. the Job Board Doctor. Jeff, for our listeners who want to know more about you, where do you send them?
I'll keep it simple. Go to jobboarddoctor.com. And if you want to talk to me, just click on the contact me button.
Too easy.
Agree to disagree. Chad, that's another one in the can.
We out.
Wow. Look at you. You made it through an entire episode of the Chad and Chase podcast. Or maybe you cheated and fast-forwarded to the end. Either way, there's no doubt you wish you had that time back. Valuable time you could have used to buy a nutritious meal at Taco Bell, enjoy a pour of your favorite whiskey, or just watch big booty Latinas and bug fights on TikTok. No, you hung out with these two chuckleheads instead. Now go take a shower and wash off all the guilt. But save some soap, because you'll be back. Like an awful train wreck, you can't look away. And like Chad's favorite Western, you can't quit them either. We out.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts and now available on YouTube.